Good evening.
Good evening.
You have to put up with me twice today. Our lesson this evening, just a quick question. Here's the title of our lesson. As soon as I turn on. How's your joy? How is your joy? Occasionally I listen to folks on the radio and, you know, we talk about Satan and things that rob us of joy. And so I started looking at God's holy word. There's about 170 verses in the Bible that mention joy. 110 of them are in the Old Testament, and about 70 of them are in the New Testament. And we're not going to go over all of them tonight. But as we look at this passage in John, Jesus says, John 15, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Obviously, back to our question, how's your joy of the seed? There is a ton of information and thoughts in this passage, but really I just want us to look at that your joy may remain full. So if I was going to ask you to look back over the past week, how full were you of joy? Or, if we're starting a new week, thanks be to God, we have first day of the week today. What are you planning? How are you going to address your joy this week? Are you ready for a joyful week? Or are you like me, dreading possibilities of some encounters that you don't want to encounter? That's possible. Possible. But we of all people should be filled with joy. And daily, obviously, the things that rob us with joy, so no, we can't get rid of our spouses, Bob. Okay? So we need to learn how to bring joy into that relationship. You know? I'm jesting a little bit because him and I have some alignment on that to some extent. But folks, I can't imagine having to go home to a house where there's no joy. I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine coming to a worship service with people where there's no joy. I can't imagine going to work. Obviously, there's stress at work. That's why it's called work. But there are times that we laugh and enjoy and have joy at work. Brother Phil, you spend many more hours on the road than what I do. I talk to my brother who drives to Florida and back every week, daily. And we talk about the joy-robbing driving habits of other people. And I've learned that I will pray for people that are driving in a way that makes me unsafe, that might have endangered my life, that might have endangered somebody else's life. Because I don't want those drivers that should have stayed home that day, or they're running a little late, or have maybe something tremendous on their mind and their heart that they're not paying attention to what they're doing, or may just be inconsiderate and they're using an electronic device. They still need prayers for their safety and for their concern. And that helps me be joyful driving back and forth. I know You can't close your eyes and pray up and down the road all day, Brother Phil. You know? But what robs us? That our joy may be full. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Well, what did you just say, Jesus? So let's go back. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Your joy is going to be full by abiding in his love and keeping his commandments. By being a branch that's connected to the vine. Simple analogy, we're just talking about driving up and down the road in the interstate and how people act and people do and people how people can help us work on our faith. Okay? If I connect myself to the vine when I'm driving up and down that road, if I pray for those people for whatever reason, you know, they're not paying attention, or they're in a hurry, or they're emotionally stressed, or whatever the reason is, or maybe they just have a habit of being somebody we need to pray for. Somebody we need to pray for. Folks, those are times when we need to make sure we're connected to the vine. Those are the times we want to glorify God by praying for those people. I'm using that because it's a common example for me daily. Boy, I had a couple days last week when I almost thought, you know what, I ought to just pull off this interstate for an hour or two and let all the crazies do whatever they're going to do. Then I called my brother and he said, "Oh, no, I've been dealing with them all day. It's just one of them days, you know." But not allowing things in our lives to rob our joy. As we continue thinking about that, how is your joy? In Philippians 1:25 it is written, "And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." Brother Brad mentioned, you know, in his prayer about the things that bring us faith this evening. The greatness of life, the greatness of salvation, the greatness of Jesus as a Savior, our joy of our faith. Being happy that we are a child of God. Being happy. And progress. Progress, progress, progress. I'll ask you this. How many times have you prayed for somebody else beside yourself in the last week? And is that something that you could measure progress in, is if you start praying for more people than just yourself on a daily basis? Or you start praying every day? Those of you that are retired, you can pray without ceasing. Those of us, I'm just jesting a little bit. Those of us that, I know you guys are busy. But even though you're busy, are you more joyful that you're retired than when you were at work? We got multiple people here. See? It doesn't change, does it? You're still a child of God. You still have work to do. You still have things to get done. Our retirement is when Jesus comes again, folks. That's when our retirement is as Christians. 1 John 1:4 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, in our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Folks, I need to look at these verses and apply them to my life, because I want my joy to be full. And I can call up Brother Tom every morning at 6 a.m. and he's going to say, "I'm not up yet, call Brad, he's up." I'm jesting. But folks, where do we reach out for our joy? I love racing, I love football, I love music, I love a lot of things. I enjoy life in a lot of different ways. And it brings me some joy, but it doesn't even compare to the joy that we're talking about being in Christ. "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full," reminding us that our fellowship is with the Father and, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, I'll use an example. Right now down at Lucas Oil, there's a fellowship going on. And there's those that are cheering the winners, the Detroit Lions, and those that are cheering the Indianapolis Colts. I'm just kidding. But to be a part of that, to be a part of that atmosphere, is energizing and uplifting. You know? To be a part of the team on the sidelines is a whole nother level of being energized and part of that team, part of that fellowship, part of something that's special, part of something you look forward to. How many people look forward to football Sunday? Where the college games on Saturday? Some of us in here do, not all of us. I understand, I guess. Different people look forward to things different ways and are energized in different ways. Different things bring joy to different people. I mention that to say, if coming to worship service doesn't bring you joy, if recognizing that your sins have been forgiven doesn't bring you joy, if recognizing that you are going to live for eternally doesn't bring you joy, you really haven't grasped how great it is and whose child you are. Or you're too busy in life to stop and thank God for what He's given us. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Brother Brad mentioned in class this morning about being part of a team. About, who is the most, how did you ask the question this morning and Jesus was the answer, Brad? Who is the most, you didn't say sacrifice the most, dedicated,
humble.
Okay. No, I think it wasn't humble, it was another word. Dedicated sacrifice, who's the best example of that? The word you used, I can't remember, an adjective, but in the history of man, Jesus is. But folks, in our daily lives, in our weekly lives, we come together here, and I see you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who haven't given up serving God, who haven't given up and decided to go somewhere else because times might have got tough or you may have had a tiff with somebody. You've continued to follow Jesus here where He wants us to be. And that's very encouraging. And that brings joy. It brings joy. Yeah? It's disappointing when you only see pews half full, or you know somebody hasn't been here for a couple, 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks, maybe a year or two. But are we going to allow that to rob us? Does Sister Wanda, every time she makes that check mark, joy, 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 joy? Now we can have that same joy she does. We don't have to make a list. We don't have to check it. But we can look around and say, I'm thankful you're here. I'm thankful you're bringing your kids. I'm thankful there's people still serving the true and living God the way we're supposed to. We have that fellowship. We have that joy in our lives. And we want to make sure we don't take each other for granted, that we bring each other joy. In Luke it says, and it's written, and I say unto you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Jesus said that right after he mentioned the parable. In the following parable, it is written in Luke 15, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. A little while, you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me because I go to the Father. And some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me again, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have no sorrow. Now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I ask us this evening, folks, have we asked God that our joy would be full? How many of us remember the old Bible, vacation Bible? I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Remember, anybody ever remember that song? I want everybody to sing that when they get up in the morning, every day this week. Just kidding. I'm just throwing out the thought. Phil, when that person cuts you off, Monday morning when you're on the road, I got that joy, joy, joy. Maybe that's a good ringtone. I might have to have that on a ringtone, you know? That'd be a good ringtone, wouldn't it? I think I'm going to try and do that. But folks, do we ask to be joyful? Or do we just ask enough to get by? Do we have a God that just wants us to, you know, to mope and kind of just make it through? Or do we have a God and a Savior that's promised us happiness and joy and peace? And He's the one that can fulfill those things for us. I can help Phil a little bit, you know, but nothing like Jesus and God can. Absolutely nothing. That power that's in them. And the only way I really help him is letting him work through me. But we've got to ask for it. We've got to ask for it. Folks, and to remind us, there's joy in heaven, joy in heaven, joy in heaven when someone says, Jesus, I'll follow you. when somebody repents. Now, folks, I'll also say, obviously, we look at this and we think, well, when somebody's baptized into Christ, their sins are washed away. But you know what? Every time we pray and ask for forgiveness, even though we're in Christ, that obedience brings joy to God. That obedience brings joy to us knowing that we're forgiven and that we're still connected. And we have that understanding that we are saved. We have that pipeline. We have that pipeline for forgiveness and an understanding of that in our lives. In Acts it is written, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went out in the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoke by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and healed. And it was great joy in that city. Obviously, back in the time that the disciples and Jesus had those miraculous powers, that's how they brought Jesus to people. We, with the truth that we have, can bring great joy to people. There can be great joy here. There is great joy here. Because we do that, folks. In Romans 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. There's nothing wrong with going to a football game. There's nothing wrong with going out to eat somewheres. There's nothing wrong with spending the money as you see fit. But folks, we as children of God we take a second look when we do certain things in our lives. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand why we abstain from certain things. We don't go to certain places. We spend our money in certain ways. I worked with a guy years ago that said, we should be taxing those churches. They got all that money. He didn't have a clue that all that money is given out of faith. And all that money goes to help people. And we work for a company that those churches hire to build those buildings that people are giving money. And all the money that's given has already been taxed. Any of you get pre-tax abatements for on the money you give to the church? No. No, it's after tax. But we still render under God what is God's. For a kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine making request for you all with joy. We as God's people, in my opinion, should be very, very joyous that we can pray. And that God hears our prayers. Because of what Jesus has done for us. And because of what his word says. Folks, there's a lot of people God doesn't hear their prayers. Now, does God hear prayers of sinners? There's points in the Bible, yes and no. But we know for certain, 100% guaranteed, because we've been baptized into Christ and He hears us. He hears us directly, folks. Are you happy and joyful when you pray? When we pray? I know a lot of times we're pleading, and it's tough to be joyful when we're pleading with God for help. But should we be joyful? Should we be the most joyful people, folks, that people come in contact with? Yes? No? I say yes. We should be. Doesn't mean we're not going to have ups and downs. Doesn't mean that we don't have the same life issues that everybody else does. God says that's part of being in the flesh. But knowing and that pipeline for eternity and a pipeline to grace and a pipeline to Jesus and the prayers and the things that help us and assure us that this isn't all there is. And it's only for a short time. And there's others going through the same thing. We're not alone. We're not alone. Folks, how is your joy? This evening, the best way you can make that joy the way you want it to be is talk to God, to pray about it. If you haven't, begin your walk with God the Father. Been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, we offer that. If there's any need for you to have prayers for the congregation, we offer that time now to change and make sure your joy is great and complete this week as we stand and sing a selected song.